chair. I said on air from the chair. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Tell all your friends so the show can grow. Take a break and crack a smile while I entertain you for a while. On air from the chair. I said on air from the chair. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to On Air from the Chair with your host, Big Mike. That's me. Today, sitting in my chair, I am so excited. I have Stacy Russell. Now, she is extraordinary to me in so many ways. One, she's a phenomenal mother. She's a fantastic wife, one of the best friends and oldest friends of my wife, but one of my best friends I consider as well. The best Texas ambassador that the state of Texas could possibly have. And that's not even to mention what she does for a living and her profession. So I just want everyone to welcome Stacy to the show. Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for being here. So I know you very well. My listener doesn't. So let's start off with just a little bit of background information, kind of where you're from, where you went to school, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah. Born and raised right here in Dallas. Long legacy, honestly, of my family living in Dallas and being from Dallas. And so went to Lake Highlands High School. That's where I met Amy, your wife, my longest best friend. Went on to college. Amy and I went to Texas Tech, both of us, our freshman year, and honestly couldn't stand it. Didn't like the smell, the West Texas vibe. I remember driving there, Mike, and my mom and I passed a tumbleweed that blew across the road, and I seriously was...
You're like, where am I going to school?
Where am I? What is happening?
Yeah.
And so I left after my freshman year and went down to UT Austin and had a blast. And that's where I graduated college, got a degree in psychology and sociology, moved back home, back up to Dallas, and started working at SMU for a few years. And then ultimately ended up at the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, where I've been ever since.
Okay.
In addition to that, sorry, because I'm forgetting something. Really bad mom and wife and mother, now that you've just said this, because I just forgot my entire family. But met my husband, who's from Allen. That's a whole nother story. But anyway, met my husband, who's from Allen. We now live in McKinney. Our kids go to school in Allen. So Benji's my husband, and Mason and Stella are our kiddos.
And how old is Mason?
Mason's 15.
And Stella?
Stella's 12.
And 12.
Okay. So 10th and 7th grade.
Okay. Yeah. No, I can't believe he's driving. He drove you over here today.
He did.
So he's got his learner's permit?
Got his permit.
All right. Still
has a little bit of time, but yes, wants to drive everywhere now.
Oh, that's crazy. Time is just moving way too fast. So you are definitely Amy's oldest best friend, or longest best friend, I should say. I shouldn't say oldest. That has a negative connotation.
Yeah, because she's older than me.
She is older than you.
Yeah.
So, what I will say is when I came into the picture about 11 years ago, you guys had already been friends for, 20 years at that point. And you guys welcomed me into your inner circle. And I don't know if you know this about you and Benji in particular, but you guys kind of immersed me into this Texas culture. Because it's loud and proud in your home, which I absolutely love. I've lived in a bunch of different places. I was born in Ohio. I was raised on the East Coast, lived in the Mid-Atlantic, the Southeast, and now Texas. And I've never lived anywhere where people are so proud of their state. So why do you feel that Texans are just so proud of being Texan?
I think honestly, for me, it's just kind of innate. Like that just is how it starts out. You're just born and bred, honestly, like Texan, and in many cases, like Texas first, America second. I hate to even say that, but it is. It's like its own country sometimes. Just a melting pot, I think, of so many different cultures, which I think is great. I mean, a lot of that Texas pride does come from my husband. He's a huge Texan, but at the same token, I love the state. I love just getting in the car, driving from one into the other and seeing it. And I just think we have such great places to visit, such places to go.
Oh, sure.
Amazing food, amazing music.
You said so many cultures. And the other thing is just geographically, you can drive forever in Texas. And as you're driving, topography changes. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the places that we went to that we absolutely loved was Big Bend, right? Is that the name of it? Big Bend. So you're in this desert, and then all of a sudden you start driving up this road in the Chisos Mountains, mm-hmm. and it goes from being 100 degrees on the floor to 70 degrees at the top of the mountain. It just and see the vegetation change as it goes. Yes. And then you head a little further, you know, down into the hill country where you went to college. Just beautiful scenery, you know what I mean? And then you go out to West Texas, and it's flat, and there's a lot of oil rigs. And
yeah.
And some people find that beautiful, too. You know what I mean? It's just a phenomenal place to live. So I know you're a huge music fan, and being a Texas ambassador. So when it comes to music right now in Texas, kind of thinking about Texas music, what's your go-to?
Lots of different go-tos, I think, for Texas music. Just this past weekend, we went to the Troubadour Festival
in
Salina. So some bands I had never heard of and honestly didn't even see, but just some go-tos that we tend to see over and over again. You know, Reckless Kelly, Wade Bowen, Randy Rogers, Mickey and the Motor Cars. If I'm down south, Green is one of my favorite places to go.
And Green Hall?
Yeah. I've seen a ton of people at Green Hall, which is amazing. If you've never done it, you have to see a show there. But Cody Canada, Shane Smith and the Saints, absolutely amazing. They're mm-hmm. not newer, but newer, if you will.
Right.
Just so much good music and talent out there. I'm older, so I'm sure there's even more great music that's coming up. But I tend to go back to my favorites over and over again. Sure. And that's what helps to honestly chill me out. And that's what I want to listen to when I'm on my patio, or that's what I want to listen to when I'm driving across the state or anywhere for that
sure.
matter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, so you brought up Green Hall. We took a trip down to, I forget where, some tree houses somewhere.
Yeah.
And so we were within striking distance of Green Hall, and so we had to go see it. Unfortunately, there wasn't a show going on, but all the iconic people that have come through Green Hall and played there, when you go in there, it's Green Hall. I mean, it's a hall. It's not even like a big amphitheater or anything like that. It was really cool to see. Our kids were rolling their eyes, and Amy and I are like, no way, no, let's get a picture over here. Yeah. Let's get a picture over here.
So many icons. I mean, of course, George Strait, which we know your wife and I love.
Well, actually,
first place he ever played.
I don't think we've covered that yet with my listener, but so listener, my wife is, her bucket list would be to shake George Strait's hand. So, hey, listener, if you're out there and you know George Strait and you can give me the opportunity to have my wife shake his hand, you'd really help a brother out if you could make that introduction. And I'll have you on the chair. Fair enough? Okay, back to the interview. Music is, you really enjoy music. I whenever we're over there, we love sitting out back on the patio, and especially when it's nice weather, and just listen to music and sing songs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, music does a lot of things for a lot of people. So is it something that, you know, in a busy work day, you can take 15 minutes and just kind of reset yourself? Or what do you use music for other than sitting on your patio and hanging out with me?
Well, both of the things I love to do, but, on the patio, hanging out with you for sure. But yes, to answer your question, being in the middle of the day and you just need a break, like, I'll go make lunch, put on some tunes and kind of chill out. Or honestly, if I'm in the car driving, like I drove the other day, Mike, this is embarrassing, but this happened to me twice in a row, but I drove, was going to Fort Worth, and I passed my exit to get onto 30, and I was mm-hmm. headed towards Cleburne just because I was singing
yourself.
And not even paying attention. And then I did it the other day, meeting my mom, and drove past my exit and had to turn around and come back just because I'll zone out. But it's therapeutic. It's just, you know, music feeds the soul.
Oh, sure. You know, music has always been a big part of our lives. Jordan, our son, is into music big time. Yes. He's going to school for it. Amy's passion for country music and especially George Strait. It was funny because before I moved here to Texas, did I know country music? Yeah. You know what I mean? And really until I met my wife. But when I met her, I realized, hey, you know, I better check this out. And I've grown to absolutely love it. So, yeah. But it definitely is a nice reset for people, kind of calms the mood and all that kind of stuff. So, and speaking of calming the mood and stuff like that, so professionally, you work for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and, you know, you've been there for
20 years.
20 years. I actually knew that, listener. I was kind of playing there, but no, 20 years. That's awesome. That is absolutely amazing. So you got out of college, and you, went to SMU and worked in the financial services, which I just saw that getting ready for you to come in. I knew you'd been at LLS, and I'm going to call it LLS for the rest of the time, if that's okay with you, because sure. It's a bit of a tongue twister for me.
Yes.
So getting ready, I was looking at your LinkedIn, and I saw that you were, I'm like, oh, I did. You know, you probably told me one time before, but you know, I'd forgotten that you were at SMU in the financial services. So what made you choose the career path to go to the LLS?
Well, honestly, it started with my grandmother being diagnosed with cancer when I was in the fourth grade. She battled that for 6 years, different types, breast cancer, lung cancer, mouth cancer, brain cancer, ultimately, you know, having it spread throughout her body to her lymphatic system and becoming lymphoma, metastasizing into lymphoma. And actually, my grandmother having cancers really was the impetus to Amy and I meeting and forming our bond, because she lost her grandmother, and that was very important to her, to cancer as well. And so at the time, I just thought, you know, cancer's awful. You see what it does to that individual person, but you also see the impact it has on the entire family unit and everybody that just cares for that individual, and how it changes your life, getting people to and from doctor's appointments or taking care of them while they're sick, or right. In the case of me, that was my mom's mom. And so my mom being there and me helping to, you know, take care of my younger brother and sister a little bit, just being the oldest and and wanting to be there for my mom, I think, at the same time. That's kind of what I remember a little bit, and just thought, you know, maybe helping people kind of get through that, whatever their feelings are, I think is what led me to become a psych major, that type of thing. And I thought I was going to go on and get my master's in counseling. And after SMU, went back to school, and then just fell into this position at the Leukemia Lymphoma Society to do fundraising, which I'd never done, and just fell in love with it, honestly. So that's what led me to be here and to be at the Leukemia Lymphoma Society.
Yeah. So what is the mission of the LLS?
Yeah, our mission is to find a cure for blood cancers. So that's leukemia, lymphoma, Hodgkin's disease, myeloma, all mouthfuls, all acronyms for every one of them.
That's why I'm not trying to say them.
And to improve the quality of life of patients and their families. So really, we have three mission pillars. We fund research, actually $1.5 billion since we were founded in 1949. Wow. We give financial assistance. Last year, $240 million across the country in co-pay, travel, urgent need assistance, as well as educational and support resources, information resource center, support groups, and being an advocate to make sure that everybody that's affected by blood cancer has access to the care that they need. So that's our mission, and those are our mission pillars. So that's what really drives us every day. Yeah.
So that's the mission of LLS. So what's your passion behind working there? You know what I mean? What makes you so passionate about being able to go in every day? Because not every day, I mean, you guys are dealing with very hard topics, and you're assisting and coming in contact with people that are at their worst moments of their life, just when you get the news and it affects you and stuff like that. So what drives you? What's the passion behind staying there for 20 years?
I think a couple of things. I think believing in that mission, seeing research advancements come to fruition over time, and knowing families that I've met that they didn't have any next steps, and they were at their last resort, and here came a clinical trial, or here came a new treatment, or, you know, they got the funds that they needed to be able to pay for that, because that's a huge burden. In a huge need that we hear from patients all the time. So I think seeing that, and seeing then the people, the volunteers, those families that, whether they've been affected or not, everybody's been affected by cancer, maybe not a blood cancer, but they want to get involved. They want to help people for whatever that means, whether that's because they find the research exciting or it's the patient financial aid, but knowing, I think that at the end of the day, it's raising that awareness and making sure that everybody has the access that they need. And I've been so fortunate to meet so many families along the way, but also the internal people, like our staff, they're just amazing.
Just phenomenal organization to work for to begin with. Yeah. And it became so evident to me, one, I've always just, you know, tip my cap to you for what you do, because I know it's such a good cause. Because, again, everybody's life has been touched, it seems, by cancer of some sort. I lost my dad 10 years ago. Started as prostate cancer, but by the time they diagnosed it, he was already terminal. And it was one of those weird ones where, you know, he was a healthy guy, went to the doctors all the time, just from one doctor visit to the next. It was long enough and it spread to his lymph nodes and all that kind of stuff. So people have a very personal, story behind all of it, but I got to see you guys, really work. And in fact, it was just my last guest on the last show. Jordan Hammett is his name. He was a young man at 19 in just the start of COVID too, having to be told that you've got cancer, and it was leukemia, and having to deal with the COVID thing of not being able to have your family around you, mm-hmm. being stuck in a hospital a lot. But, I knew his mom really well, and, I was able to get information from you to send them to LLS, and just, you know, he mentions it on the show last week of, you know, how much that helped as far as having the information to get the resources and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, where you see the benefits of what you do mm-hmm. is it was a stem cell withdrawal and then a bone marrow transplant for him that ultimately saved his life. You know, right. This November 13th, he's celebrating 2 years and finally gets to meet that donor who saved his life. What we even talked about was, man, 20 years ago, that was science fiction. You know, that wasn't reality. So the money is being used and we're getting better at it. And you're seeing more and better, you know, survival rates because our technology is getting better. We're learning more about it. And it's all due to the fundraising and being able to, you know, exactly what you're doing. So that's absolutely amazing to me. So if my listener wants to get involved, how would they get involved or find information or even contribute to LLS?
I think in a couple of different ways, honestly, Mike, like the story you just said, I mean, if you happen to know me or know somebody and just want to send us an email, I hate to say it, I get emails like that probably once a week, a couple a week of just people that I've met that say, hey, now so-and-so is diagnosed, can you send me information? And so we send that along for them to find those resources, which really comes down to going to the website at lls.org. There's information about each of the different disease types, different treatment options, but also the support, because that's what's so critical. We have an information resource center, which is housed by oncology professionals there to answer questions, help navigate through clinical trials, help them fill out financial aid applications for that copay and travel and urgent need. Help them figure out, we have a LLS community of just like support community, both online and in person. One of my favorite actually features that we have, I guess, for patients is called First Connection, where we pair somebody up that's been newly diagnosed with the same disease that somebody else has already had around the same age. Oh, wow. They're going to go through the same treatment protocol, because who better to say like, no, I know what you're about to go through.
Right. Yeah.
We don't know. I don't know that. Fortunately, I haven't had that journey, but
right.
They're really talking firsthand. And so that's one of my favorite programs that we offer.
That is really cool. Yeah.
It is neat. And on the same website, honestly, you can figure out how to get involved, whether that's volunteering of your time, mm-hmm. whether it's fundraising, forming a team, becoming a sponsor, getting involved with any of our events in October, November here in the Metroplex. We have our Light the Night Walks in Dallas, Fort mm-hmm. Worth, Frisco. Thousands of people coming out there carrying illuminated lanterns. It's the most moving thing if you've never seen it, but mm-hmm. just red, white, and gold lanterns that symbolize supporters, survivors, and Walking in Memory of respectively. And it's just beautiful to see. That's one of our signature events, but we also have so many ways for people to get involved, whether it's doing a marathon through Team and Training, climbing up Bank of America Tower, which
I did that.
It's fun. I always say there's something for everybody, because whether you want to do that or you want to go to a fashion show, which we have, or a grand finale gala where we have students and community leaders that are raising funds in a competition, there's just something for everybody. Or again, volunteering your time and really just helping to raise awareness, because that's what's so critical, is making sure that people know about the services we can provide.
Oh, exactly. And I don't know why I don't know about this fashion show. You've never asked me to be a model to walk the catwalk.
It's the first time for everything. It's been going on for 39 years. It's
actually amazing. Has it really?
And it's unique to the Dallas market. And there's two women here, Janet and Rusty, who I absolutely adore, that started the luncheon here, and it's been going on now for 39 years, and it's a full-on fashion show that highlights the spring fashions, and people come out and, you know,
that is so cool. And listen, I've been to numerous of these events. I've walked up the stairs. I've gone to Light the Night. Phenomenal events. I mean, one, you just walk out of there so moved because you hear some great stories, but you guys make it a lot of fun too. You know what I mean? It's an upbeat situation. It's music is going, and there's everyone's there to support each other. And, you know, I think that's what's cool to see, is that, you know, thousands of people are there to just support, you know, whoever's going through this, whether I know you or not. And I don't mean to go back to Jordan, but the funny thing about Jordan was, I was a big fan of the Ben and Skin Show, which was a local radio station, guys from Richardson. And, so I would follow them on Facebook, and this young kid wrote this horrible story about, he's 19, he got diagnosed with cancer, and I don't know, I didn't know him from Adam. And so I just replied to that post saying, you know, Jordan, you don't know me from Adam, but know that strangers are out here, and that we love you, and that we support you, and that we're behind you, and you can do this, man. You're strong. If you need anything, let me know. And what I thought was really strange was then his mom, who I do know, but they have different last names. And so Julie replies back to me, says, thanks, Mike. Why are you thanking me for saying this? And then she shared with me that, you know, my son's going through. I was like, I couldn't believe it. And it was just, there's people, I mean, we all are behind everybody when it comes to this. So if it's okay with you guys, we'll put the link down at the bottom of the description for LLS. That way, listener, if you or somebody that you love, or, you know, a friend, neighbor, whatever the case may be, needs information, it'll be easily accessed down there in the description below with a hyperlink. So that way we can get you to the right place for the right resources and all of that. So let's get off of, you know, LLS for a little bit. And, you know, I could talk to you for hours about it, because it is just such a worthy cause. You know, again, my hat's off to you, because, you know, every day you guys are making a difference, and really, you know, providing some phenomenal resources for everybody out there to fight this, I want to say a bad word, I'm trying to keep it clean, but I really don't like cancer. Good. So, let's kind of tie this thing up, and we'll lighten the mood just a little bit. But, if there was a song that was going to be made about your life, because you're a big music person, who would you want to sing that song?
I go to a couple of people. I think I'm going to go with probably Cody Canada.
Cody Canada?
Yes. Okay. He started, you know, Cross Canadian Ragweed back in the day, but one of my very first, I guess, entrees into Texas country music would have been that. Actually, when I was working at SMU, he came to play for freshman orientation, and I was obviously working in admissions and financial services, and played in the basketball arena, I guess Moody Coliseum.
Yeah.
and just remember that. And mm-hmm. so, I don't know. I think I still love him, still love his voice.
Yeah.
He's now, you know, not necessarily Cross Canadian Rugby, but Cody Canada and The Departed, and they're great. Of course, I go to Shane Smith and the Saints, but I think I'm just going to, or George Strait, but I'm going to go with Cody.
Okay. So, again, we already said, listener, if you have a connection to George Strait, reach out to me. But Cody Canada, I know you're probably listening because everyone's listening to this podcast. I wish, but no, get this to Cody Canada. If you know who he is, let's get him to write a song about Stacey Russell's life, because she definitely deserves it. She's extraordinary in just every last way that I know, as from being a mother and in a wife and a friend and, you know, being passionate about where she lives and then not to mention just all the good works that she does for her profession. There's nobody that I know that is quite as extraordinary as you. So I love you very much. This entire podcast is all about finding the extraordinary and just everyday people. And too many times, I think, you know, in the world that we live in, there's such negative news out there. There's such, you know, just discomfort everywhere that we lose sight that the person behind you at the checkout line and at the grocery store, they're extraordinary. You know what I mean? In some way, they're extraordinary. It's a single mother with three kids that she's trying to raise. It's somebody who beat cancer like Jordan, and, you know, in 2 years now, he's going to find out who saved his life, you know, and everything in between. It doesn't have to be polar one way or the other, but there's extraordinary in everybody. So a long-winded question, I apologize. What does that word mean to you? There's certain words that for everybody, it means something different, but what does the word extraordinary mean to you?
I agree with you, Mike. I feel like it's an emphatic word for something that really is there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has extraordinary qualities or doing extraordinary things. We just don't necessarily know about them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it extraordinary, when you find out about them, I think,
mm-hmm.
because everybody's living their life, doing their thing. They're going through their own struggles, and it's what they overcome or how they continue to persevere and have that drive and determination when they have obstacles of saying like, hey, I'm going to make it through this. And that's what makes ordinary people extraordinary, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
When you were just actually even describing that, I think of, my kids make fun of me because I cry at a bunch of commercials. And of course, obviously cry at my job every day. But I guess I have an empathetic heart. But even when I see, like during the Olympics, and you see those commercials of like the mom that's taking
mm-hmm.
their kids to and from their sporting events, you know, helping them live out their dream. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily even to me the athlete that's extraordinary.
Sure.
It's those parents.
It's the support behind them
that are helping them to achieve that. That mm-hmm. to me is extraordinary. Like people just giving them of themselves because they want to, not because they have to.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, it's, you know, it, I agree with you. And it's funny. You say you have a sympathetic heart. Call me strange, but I cry at happy stuff.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So if I'm watching a movie and they win the championship, oh, I sob like a little baby. You know what I mean?
That's, I'm the same
you know, I get so happy when I see people just being fulfilled and all that kind of stuff. So that being said, you know, who do you know that you would consider to be, and I know you know a lot of people, so I don't want to put you on the spot. You could probably name 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 1,000 people. But if you're going to pick one or two people and say, you know, these people that I know are extraordinary, and then why?
I have had the opportunity in my career to meet a lot of people that have amazing stories of like overcoming literally life or death situations. So
mm-hmm.
no, I'm not going to pick one of those because there's too many of them. But I always just lean to, I mean, the person I probably admire most is honestly my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it may sound cheesy and corny, but it is what it is. I just love her to death. And I feel like she's always just given of her own heart, done it without expecting anything in return, and just has instilled that, I think, in me and my siblings too. And I think even her grandchildren,
mm-hmm.
not mine, I don't have any yet, thank God, but her grandchildren.
Careful, I just became a great uncle.
Shouldn't say that out loud. I know. Great. A great uncle.
I'm not old enough to be a great uncle.
But you are ahead. Not. You yeah. are not for sure. But I think, you know, my mom growing up, she was young when her dad died at the age of 14 and was mm-hmm. the oldest. And so I know that she helped, you know, her mom, who then was a single mom, you know, take care of things, I think, around the house. I think it made her grow up a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
So she's always been had an independent soul a little bit. But I think I appreciate that so much. I mean, my sister and I know say that the same all the time, just being a strong-willed woman, just knowing that you could take care of yourself if you needed to.
Yeah.
And I think she's instilled that in us, and going through, you know, taking care of my grandmother during that time period and just having to be strong and having to do what was necessary. And
right.
unfortunately, sometimes that means putting yourself on the sidelines,
right,
and not taking care of yourself necessarily first. But mm-hmm. At the same token, again, she never complained about it. She still doesn't. She still takes care of all of us, and and I think wouldn't have it any other way. And something else that I think always resonates with me about my mom is, you know, she got married, had me when she was still in college, and didn't finish until after my brother and sister had graduated high school, and she and I actually graduated college 6 months apart.
Oh, really?
And she fulfilled her dream of being, you know, an educator and being a teacher, and that's amazing. And
right. To give of themselves to just be a teacher, but that is so cool. She graduated right around you. Absolutely. And I mean, you're surrounded by extraordinary. Your sister is absolutely extraordinary. She's a survivor, and she had breast cancer and put up the fight, and now she's on the other side of that, which I couldn't be happier about that as well. So she's absolutely extraordinary as well.
Yeah.
So just all kinds of people. So I am so happy that you came in, and thank you for being so generous with your time. I was excited to have you in, and just know that I hold you in the highest regard as one of my very best friends, my Texas ambassador, really more than just friends, you're truly family. And I think you're a phenomenally, extraordinarily amazing person. Thank you for being in. I think the listeners, please go to LLS, make sure to get involved. Not only will you be doing something good, but it makes you feel good too, to be able to just even your time. If you don't have money, don't worry about it. Donate your time, you know, help out at one of the events, go to an event, you know, I mean, just be there, be around people and be the emotional support, because that doesn't cost anything. So, but thank you, Stacy, very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Stacy, for coming in and being an awesome interview. It's such great things that the LLS are doing. So, listener, if you're out there and you're struggling and you need information, down in the bottom of our description will be a link for the LLS. So please utilize them as a jumping off page to get you all the information that you need in order to make informed decisions and to get the resources that are available to you. And Stacy, you're so extraordinary for the work that you do professionally, but just as a friend and as somebody that we absolutely love. So thank you for being on. And remember, listeners, if you want to be in the chair, all you have to do is go to our website, onairfromthechair.com, and leave me a comment. Nominate someone to sit in the chair. So we all know what I do at the end of every episode. There's only one thing I ask you. Who dares to take the chair? Will it be you?